You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, doing a summertime check-in on all you entrepreneurs, you startup owners. I have a really special guest today. We're going to spend a few minutes. He's lending us a few minutes of his very busy and highly anticipated time right now. We have Jay McCall here. Jay is an artist, and he is with us on The Startup. Jay, welcome to The Startup. How are you?
Doing great. So glad to be here.
It's great to have you here as well. Let's go full screen. I want you to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and really teach them a little bit about your art, how you started, and what you have going on.
Sure. It's a long story, but I'll try to keep it condensed. I worked in tech for a really long time. I worked for a lot of big record labels, TV studios, nonprofits, startups. One of the biggest companies I worked for was Nike. And towards the, I'd say probably like 2 years ago, I lost the job at a really, really promising startup that was supposed to last a lot longer than it did. And when I lost my job, I kind of had this spiritual awakening that I'll get into detail about later. But during that 2 year period, I started painting. I had this calling to kind of move away from tech, focus on art, which I had never done before. I'd never used my hands. Was definitely a computer nerd and didn't really even know anything about art or painting. And fast forward a year past that, I started selling paintings, you know, on average from like $5K to $10K a painting. I started getting a lot of press, started getting in major galleries. And then the vision became really real. It started a really accelerated path for me in the art game that I just didn't see. And I, like I said, there's a whole backstory behind that, but just kind of bring you up to speed with where I am right now.
Wonderful, 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 Jay. Thank you for doing that and giving us the overview. I think it's interesting that what you just shared is a lot of entrepreneur stories. You know, it seems like you've had your hand in a lot of different things and you're trying to find that niche. And when you follow your gut, even when you're helping another startup company, yeah. It doesn't always go. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, we want to believe in our stuff, but we believe in other people's things to succeed. And absolutely. So, yeah, you get kind of thrown off like, man, okay, they didn't make it. And you have to shift. And I've had so many of those. Let's go deeper for that entrepreneur that's out there that's going through the shift and can't really relate to this navigation where you can actually find something that you're passionate about. Why don't you help us and help them understand how you said your faith got you here?
Okay, yeah, I'll tell you. So I've always been a faithful person. God has always been a big part of my life. But I'm not going to church every Sunday, to be honest. I'm no perfect Christian. I turn up, you know.
Didn't Jesus turn up? Wasn't it water that went to wine? So, I mean.
I think he did. Everything in moderation. But this was really crazy for me because, like I said, I've always been close to God, but this was a different thing. I had been making really good money in the tech industry. And so my path was pretty clear. You know, I can work remotely. I can live where I want to live. I can work for cool companies. I can make a lot of money. And when everything fell apart, for some reason, I had this sense of peace. And I had never had a lapse in income, never been laid off, never been a part of a company that fell apart. It just, yeah. I've been really blessed with that. So this was a different path for me. And when I lost my job, I started waking up at 4:44 every night for 7 days.
Oh, okay.
So it was really crazy because I'm in tech, I don't keep any electronics in my bedroom. So I don't have a TV in my bedroom. I'm not charging the phone in the bedroom. It's completely like a cave, right?
Okay. No, that's probably good for your sleep, though, because you know what tech is.
It's good for your sleep and your soul. Like, I mean.
Yes. You don't want your soul getting snatched at night.
Exactly. Stage the cave and leave everything outside of the cave. And that's been my practice for a while. So, you know, all my devices are in the living room. And so when I lost my job, I started having these crazy dreams that I really still can't explain or articulate, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
Basically, I would wake up every night and I would feel completely out of breath, like completely out of breath, like gasping for air in cold sweat. And I never heard a voice, but I heard this. I heard this knowing in my soul that was saying, check the clock so you know the message is real. And so I did. And I had to walk out into the living room to do so. And so I have an Amazon digital display that's on my wall in my kitchen. And when I would walk in front of it, it would be 4:43 every night. And it turned 4:44 in front of me as soon as I walked out the room every night for seven nights.
Okay.
And so then I started getting really kind of, I was kind of tripped out by it. I was like, yo, is my apartment haunted?
Sequences of numbers. Yes. I mean, it could be. Yeah.
Like, is my ex Haitian doing some things? I don't know.
What are the ancestors trying to tell me right now?
Yeah. So no disrespect to my Haitian. I love my Haitians. I'm just saying. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
It's inside joke, guys.
I love them. They are part of my family.
Love everybody. Yeah.
I love everybody. So, but then I started Googling it. Like, what does this mean? 444.
Right.
It basically meant that you are being communicated with angels. You're being supported by angels. And that kind of drew me into numerology and trying to learn more about the other number patterns that I was seeing. And so I started documenting everything.
Yeah.
And it got really crazy. On the seventh night, I was making really good money, but I burned through a lot of my cash. I was not preparing to, have a family or do, I was just living a really fun life in Miami. And
Easy to do, by the way, in Miami.
It's very easy to have a very fun life.
it's
very easy and it's super expensive. And I was making good money. So I was like, okay, it's never going to run out. And then it did run out one day. And so I had about $10,000 left, which is not enough to sustain the lifestyle I have in Miami for very long. Maybe a month.
It's kind of scary. Yeah.
Maybe a month. and then you're going to have to start paying rent with the credit card. And we don't want to do that.
Oh.
It was getting real. So,
yeah.
So on the seventh night, I had this feeling that it was a very spiritual feeling. It was like something was telling me, don't apply for any jobs, paint, and I'll take care of you. And so that sounded completely crazy to my family and friends because they know the tech background that I have and the skills I have. They're like, even my mom was concerned. My mom was super concerned. My mom was like, clean your sheets, wash your floor. I'm flying out this weekend to check on you. I'm not sure how you're doing. I need to check on you.
You don't have a paintbrush kit. There's no watercolors history of that. None of that.
Maybe two or three sipping paints.
Wow.
But I don't think that really counts.
No.
That doesn't count. And so, it doesn't count. So on the seventh night, I used probably $5,000 or $6,000 of my $10,000 emergency fund to buy materials. So I went on Amazon. I bought huge canvases. I bought all type of paint and just things that I didn't know how to use, but I felt like I was being ordered to buy these things. So I purchased them, and there were so many boxes in my apartment. It was really a full-time job breaking down the cardboard and organizing where everything went. It filled up my whole apartment.
Can we back
two beats back?
Because this is a community for startup and scaling and entrepreneurs, and any entrepreneur out there that has 10,000, they're on their last 10,000 and spend 50 to 60% of it to start a thing they've never done before. I don't know how many of us would raise our hands to do that. Even though you said you had the piece, how did you know? And I get the signs and the numbers. I really do get that. But how did you know it was going to be okay? Like, how did you feel good dropping 5,000 or 6,000 out of your last 10?
That's what's really crazy. And that's also what made my family members check on me and my friends, because they're like, well, if they would have felt more secure with that investment if it was something tech related.
Yeah.
Because that's what they've seen a track record of that, right? Yeah. So that wouldn't have been crazy to them. If they say, Jay, you want to be a consultant and you want to do this and you're putting it, they would have understood that. And so they didn't really understand it. And I didn't really understand it. And I think what has taught me a lot, just it's about inspired action. Like some of the best ideas, like even when you're talented or not talented, there's certain things that line up sometime where you can tap into like a different energy to make certain things happen. It's not about forcing things to happen. It's really about like tapping into that inspired action and moving at the right time.
And I can relate to that. And I use that phrase, inspired action, a lot, but it's not like it always happens. Mm-hmm. The reason why I use it a lot is to remind, and I'm glad you brought it up and reminded me, I guess I forgot, but when I was doing the pandemic trilogy, you know, the world's first independent doc trilogy, and I was traveling during the pandemic, I didn't know how I was going to do this. Mm-hmm. I did not have the 10,000. I didn't even know. And I just remember going, no, I just have to do it. And I just, it's going to happen. I just kind of knew that it was going to happen. And so I wouldn't have been able to go to 40 plus countries and 20 cities if I didn't follow that inspired action and everybody kept saying yes. So I can relate to that. So thank you for reminding me, because I forgot about that.
But it's important though. And I think if anybody gets something from this, it's like, it's some of the things that are going to get you to the best place in your life are not going to always make sense.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is I'm a growth marketer. So I look at numbers, people tap me to see what businesses to invest in. I look at a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of data, industry trends. And what I'm telling you is I would never encourage anyone to say, hey, you're on your last 10,000. You want to become a painter and you've never done it before. That makes no sense.
Right. Like, it goes against the grain.
It goes against businessman. Like that makes no sense.
Oh.
It makes absolutely no sense, but this is a little different because I really feel this way. I know everything's about business and numbers, but there is a spiritual component to life. And maybe everyone's not tapping to that. Everyone's not, you know, receptive to that. Hmm. But that's what's different about this for me. It wasn't just about business. Yeah. I felt like I had support from a divine realm to do that. And even though it didn't make sense, I still listened. And I think that's what makes people interested about the story. And it's also what's crazy about the process, because every 6 months I get a lot better than I was like rapidly. Like it's like the galleries that I get in are better and better. The sales and the prices go. It's moving the way I would run a business or I would like to run a business. But it's happening from such a organic, fun place where like I'm just enjoying creating. I'm enjoying like, you know, getting deeper.
And the time is 4:44 right now, by the way, everybody on the Pacific.
And you know that's on my neck. You know that's on my neck.
4:44. Wow.
But I got this shortly after I started painting.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, right? The fun organic place. That is like a dream for entrepreneurs, for creators, for artists, for you know, the creative, just people who want to make things happen. Tell us about this organic, because, you know, as you're speaking to me, I'm thinking, oh, it's like the Candyman movie where he starts doing the paintings. But that was a little more darker. But so like, you know, the realm takes him over and is it kind of like that? Do you click in? Like, how did the first painting go?
So I think, you know, what was funny is I look back at some of my old art that's like, I didn't get rid of it. I kept it in storage. And sometimes when I look at some of that stuff, I'm kind of embarrassed, to be honest, because I'm looking at these first pieces and I feel like I've come I've just learned a lot since those, but I can see the steps. And one thing that I've kind of learned about the process is I only paint when I'm really inspired. I don't force myself to paint. Like I don't say, hey, I'm going to paint at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock every night.
Yeah.
But what does happen to me is I do wake up at very weird times of the night. I make my best artwork in the middle of the night. So, and I usually wake up on angel number times, just like when it started.
So maybe there's less people pulling at the Angels at those times. Like maybe there's, you know, some of them are up in the club and then some of them are asleep, depending on what time zone these Angels are on. We don't know.
I think so. I mean, I'm sure they have a pretty good, you know, they've got the logistics worked out. They know how many they have in each time zone.
The satellites are tapped in.
I think they have a lot of them in Miami.
Hey, you got Art Basel, Miami.
Yeah. They're around. But I wake up at these weird times and it's like I'm exhausted and I don't really want to be awake. It's like 2:22, 3:33, 4:04. I'm like, I do like going to the gym in the morning, but that's too early, right? That's too early for me.
Yeah.
It's not a time to have a cup of coffee. It's a bad time to be up. And so what's crazy is I've documented this. This process. And so I wake up sometimes and I just exhaust myself and I work for 4 or 5 hours until the sun comes up. And sometimes I pass out in the paint.
That is pretty artistic of you. It's very European artist of you. It is. Just don't cut your ear off.
Yeah. I'm not going to cut my ear off. We're not doing that. Yeah. We're going to keep all our limbs. Okay, everything we came with. But then what's really rewarding is sometimes you wake up and you realize, like, man, I can't even believe I created what I'm looking at. And that is the feeling that keeps me kind of going. And what's also beautiful is that, you know, art galleries and other people appreciate it as well. It's like, I'm not forcing anything on this. And I feel like when I was just looking through the eyes of logic and business, I'm forcing outcomes. I'm like, this business needs to grow 20% week over week. We have to sell this many units. We have to penetrate this many markets. We have to have this much market share.
Yeah.
And with this, I've kind of just taken a really like laid back, free approach and just trusting the process. And it's been beautiful in so many ways. Like I'm meeting really good people that are supporting me, people that are giving me free supplies, people that are opening doors to places I could never open on my own, especially as an emerging artist. I've only been doing it for 2 years.
And this is crazy. Sorry to cut you off. We're running out of time. We're going to have a part two with Jay McCall because we can't put all this good stuff in. But as you're speaking about, you know, having a scale, having to take care of business, that's an activated part of your business and your personality brain. Like you already have that in your, you know how to do that.
Yeah.
I think that activated with the creative is the dream. That's the dream boat. You know how to scale and you've got something that people want. Speaking of that, where can people find, we're going to put you on a cliffhanger here, you guys. I'm going to let Jay speak. Let's have him back real soon. Give him a whole block. Jay, plug where people can find you. Let's go full screen and give Jay a plug.
All right. Hey, what's up, y'all? My face is really big on the screen right now, but I'll give it to you. You can find me at jaymikal.com, jaymikal.com. That's the best place to find me. But if you want to get me on Instagram, it's at jaymikalofficial, jaymikal official. So both of those places will show you the work, but I'd really appreciate it if you check out the website, jaymikal.com. You can see all the pictures in detail. It doesn't have everything, but it's a pretty robust collection of the things that I did in 2025 so far.
Guys, this is the new hot artist, and I don't think he's going to be a fad. I think he's definitely inspired divinely and so talented. Check his art out. Support this young artist. Jay, I know this is going to be one of the higher rated shows because you're easy on the eyes, you're smart, and you're an artist. So I know the ladies are going to be wanting you back, and we're going to have you back.
Yeah, definitely.
You come back and give us a full block?
Yeah, definitely. I thought we were going to have a full block today, but I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, well, we ran out of time.
We ran out of time. Hey, but next time I'm down, and hopefully when we jump on the next one, I got a lot of crazy stuff brewing right now.
I know you do. We're gonna get to that.
I'm not talking about it yet, but some really big things. I'm expecting to reap a really big harvest in 2026.
Let's go. We all need some beautiful art by Jay McCall. Jay, we will see you back here very, very soon with all your hot news. What we start up today. See you guys next week. Be well.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.